I'm speaking this evening on truths from the life of the prophet Elisha. And if you'll turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8. The prophet Elisha was an Old Testament prophet who had a rather unique ministry, much like that of Elijah. He's not a writing prophet. That is, he did not prophesy written prophecies that we have in the Old Testament, such as Isaiah or Jeremiah. His ministry was taken up much with miracles that he encountered in his daily ministry in the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel had rejected God and had constructed unto themselves golden calves under King Jeroboam. And they had walked in that way now for approximately 100 years. And I'm jumping right into the life of Elisha and just drawing a few truths from some of the things that befell him in his ministry. God used him in a mighty way, and his ministry is characterized by outstanding miracles, but not necessarily written prophecies. In 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8, it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, that is, a woman of position, either wealthy or important. And she constrained him to eat bread. Now he traveled about the northern kingdom, Israel, ministering from city to city, wherever God would call him, and as wherever the need would be. There were schools of the prophets in various cities, and in these he also ministered. And they are called the sons of the prophets. And he was their head, the headmaster, or the, as it were, president of the sons of the prophets. Now this is a woman that constrained him to eat bread. She found him passing through her city. She lived in Shunem. And lo and behold, here he would come through the city. And evidently he would stay there for some time. And so she recognized him. She invited him in. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. He felt comfortable in her house. Now there were many that he passed by over the course of those years. Walking up and down through the nation of Israel, there were many houses that he went by. There are many cities that he went through. And the prophet represents Christ. He represents the Word of God. He represents the visitation of Almighty God. And here he was in their midst, and she, as it were, had the spiritual sensibility to invite him in. And so he came in. How simple it was. He turned in thither to eat bread. He came to her house above all other houses. He felt comfortable there. Now we read in Revelation 3:20 of Christ standing at the door and knocking. Revelation 3:20. And if any man hear his voice and open up unto him, he will come in unto them and sup with them, and they with him. The eating of bread in Bible times meant more than just eating a meal. It meant fellowship. It was at the table a time of sharing, communion, fellowship. Eating was always a time of sharing and fellowship. And so Christ is going to come in and not just eat with us, but fellowship with us. We're going to get to know him. But you see, you've got to take the initial step and invite him in. He's already knocking. The prophet is already passing by. And he will pass by for years, and eventually some will open up unto him. Today the Lord is passing by in his church. Service after service, service after service, we come into the presence of God. And I am excited that so many are opening up. So many are recognizing the day of their visitation and are opening up and saying, come in and sup with me. Come in and fellowship with me. Don't pass me by. We read an interesting scripture in Luke 24 and verse 28. Now, this is after the resurrection of Christ, and he is walking with his disciples. And in Luke 24, 28, they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went. And he, Jesus, made as though he would have gone further. He made as though he would go further. He faked them. He pretended. He deceived them. He fooled them. Verse 29, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. He went in to tarry with them. Now, why did he made as though he'd go further? The lesson is just a simple one, is that you've got to invite him in. He doesn't impose himself. He doesn't invite himself. Jesus waited for them to say, come in, and they constrained him. He knew he was going in all the time. But he didn't just come in automatically as though it would automatically happen. It doesn't automatically happen. You have to open up to him. You have to constrain him. You have to go out of your way. Now she said unto her husband, verse 9, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. I perceive. This woman got a revelation. Now he did come in and eat with her, but after, and there was no doubt that this family got to know the prophet. They may have gotten to know some of God's workings and learned many wonderful things as they would get to know him, which would only be logical as we would get to know Christ in his heart. All of a sudden, we would feel more at home with him. And he had passed by before. Notice he passes by us continually. This is just a regular route that he is on, visiting us regularly. I perceive that this is more than just, this is a holy man of God. This is a visitation of God. Behold. Some people need to behold every now and then, which means think on it, ponder it, admire the fact. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let's do more than just invite him into supper. That wasn't enough anymore. Let's have him come and live with us. Whenever he's available, whenever he's visiting, now we want him to stay overnight here. Now, after we know him, there is an increase. It's not enough just to, you know, share on the table. We want him to come more often. We want him to stay longer. So let us make a little chamber on the wall. Let us make a little wall chamber. Let's make a separate apartment for him. And there will be a bed, a table, a stool, a candlestick. Let's make him comfortable in this apartment. When he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. Notice when he cometh to us. He's going to come to us, and he is continually coming to us. But, oh, my heart is to let him in. Behold, perceive, constrain him. Verse 11, it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. Notice, all of a sudden, he feels at home now. He is invited like Christ. Christ waited for the invitation. He doesn't come without it. Now, let me draw some lessons from what happened in verse 10. They went to some small inconvenience to allow the prophet to come with them. The home had to change a little bit. In order for the prophet to come into that home and be comfortable in that home, being a holy man of God, that had to be a house that was in a certain spiritual level. In other words, they could not be those worshiping at the golden calf and making the prophet at home. They could be not be those who worshiped at the altar of Baal, as in the under King Ahab, who has just recently passed from the scene in this narrative. They could not be those who had all kinds of things that were negative, demonic, idols, symbols. You see, that could not be. The prophet would not come in thither. He wouldn't feel at home there. Now, there is some cost to having the prophet come into your house. The Word of God, Christ, God Himself, the visitation of the Spirit, there's a price to pay. All of a sudden, your entire life is on, as it were, the showcase. I have felt such an urgency of the Spirit that everything be made right. Everything. Everything. From the lawn to the driveway, to the leaves, to the house, everything. I have felt such an urgency in that. And I have recognized that the foundation of the ministry and of being able to move for God is a house in order. Because if the house is not in order, the devil is able to get you right off the track almost at his own will. He may let you go on for a while, but he knows how to get the children to be a tremendous trial to you if the house is not in order. He knows how to make the house a testimony to that which is not godly. He knows how to cause problems in the husband and wife. If there are all kinds of things that aren't right, that are smoldering under the surface, the prophet, see, that house will not be a home for that prophet. Could you imagine the prophet turning in thither and to find the wife and her husband arguing and fighting? Could you imagine him being in his little wall chamber and listening to all that out there? Could you imagine the children, you know, and not respecting the parents, not being taught in a certain vein, continually bringing disruption in, not being polite? Notice that he even ate at the meal table with them first. I wonder how many families could have Christ come in and eat at the meal table with them. I wonder what the manners would be like. I wonder what the behavior would be like. I wonder if there would be a lot of embarrassment. I wonder if the prophet could come into the home and stay there for a couple months. I wonder how much shuffling of things and preparation would have to go on for weeks before he could ever arrive. What if he came unexpectedly? Notice, whenever he comes, when he cometh to us, we don't know when he's going to come. He's on a route. He keeps his own hours, and he has his own call of God, and he has his own ministry. We don't know when he's showing up. And we've made the wall chamber for him. And we...
why Uncle George put the money in the resort, and we must say to be without it. Yes, it's all so helpful, of course, but church is only in an age since. Now, but what? Yes, go on, Mr. Ziggurat. So it's a divorce diagnosis, no, we know that. Well, won't it? It often is open in our aim, back in our court. Now, all of them are singing for us. I mean, it's open to the end of the door.
I'll tell you, I'll get it. I'll be back. I'll tell you, I'll get it. 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 I'll tell you, I
Well, Name a cannon, 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 name a cannon